absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, hello once again. And you know what time it is. It's that time again. And as always, I play something to get myself going and get you going during the morning. There's a little bit of Fly and the Family Stone. Be right back. The number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220 is the number to call, the place to be if you want to talk to me. We have a chat room open also. If you want to lay your question, you know, make a comment or a statement in that chat room, you can do that. That's open season. Whatever you like, if you can put it in there, if you can dish it out, I can dish it back to you. Any question, please. Call in. Put it in the chat room. Fantasy questions, doesn't make a difference what type of question it is. Even if it's not on a subject matter, which I'm talking about fantasy football, hey, I'll answer it if I can. It may, you know, I'm not saying I end all to be all, but, hey, you know, at least you took the time to listen to me, and I appreciate that. As I said before, we're going to be talking about fantasy football. Strictly fantasy football, I'm going to go down every freaking game, including the, you might as well say it's a midnight game. It's starting at 11:35, and God knows when it's going to end up. I mean, we're talking about 3 hours at least. That's probably 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Wow. Who's going to stay up? Who knows? Somebody's going to stay up for that game. I'm talking about the San Diego Chargers and the Oakland Raiders in Oakland. But we'll get to that game. But as you know, this is week five. So we hit the first four games, which is the first quarter of fantasy football and the NFL football season. And no matter how your team is doing, it's always good to think ahead, not only accounting for buys or for waiver wire pickups, but also for trades and matchups. Now, I'm going to go through all of them, but these are some of the people you should be looking at, especially and we'll start with quarterbacks. Quite naturally, a lot of people have been on a bandwagon and been jumping about it, Terrell Pryor, Tony Romo, Eli Manning. They have good matchups going into the next phase of the season, and including Matt Castle. Quite naturally, this week he's on a bye. And Alex Smith, okay? Some of the running backs I'm going to be going through, some of the wide receivers I'm going to be going through that you should be looking at. We'll when we get to them, we'll tackle them. Okay. But I just want to get you aware that this is the first quarter. Now, either you're 4-0, 3-1, 2-2, 1-3, or 0-4. Okay, depending where you're at, your fantasy football team is not perfect. You like to think it's perfect, especially if you have a 4-0 record, but there's always room for improvement. And you're always scouring in the waiver wire. You're always looking to make a move via trade. But you're always thinking, do not get complacent because you have a feeling of euphoria, especially if you're on the positive side of your record, that you don't need to make any moves. I understand that you can always tweak your lineup. You can always tweak your lineup. It may look good now, but it only takes one injury away if you don't have adequate backup or someone that you can slip in there. And someone that can slip in there. Then you're going to be floundering because you got complacent. You got real comfortable because you had a 3-1 or 4-0 record. And even a 2-2, sometimes people get complacent. But if you're 2-2, you definitely should be making moves. 4-0, you're just tweaking your lineup and making sure that all your bases are covered going to week 5. So this is what I'm going to do, okay? I'm going to help the ones that are 4-0 just as much as it's going to help the ones that are 0-4. 0-4, quite naturally, I would say you're in a state of panic. You're 0-4, okay? You're 1-3. Don't panic yet. You still have a chance to get to the playoffs. Things can turn around within 1 week. You can get on a streak this week, and you could be 4-4. You never know. Just don't panic. Understand that some of the things that you did when you drafted your team didn't work out. For some reason, maybe you had Steven Jackson and he got hurt, and you didn't have an adequate second running back to pick up the slack. So you got to make some moves. Hopefully you're strong in one suit versus the other, and you can use that in your if you want to make a trade or not to try to shore up your running backs. Because if that's the case, then you need to get another running back. That's what I'm talking about. Or you had somebody like a Roddy White, and he got hurt, and you don't have adequate backups. May have one wide receiver, but everyone else is not adequate enough that's not doing the job, and you need a wide receiver. Most of the time when you're weak in wide receiver, and that's not always, but most of the time if you're weak in one position, you're strong in the other and vice versa. That means you have to do things and go from a position of strength to shore up your weakness. I have to do that in a few of my leagues because of the way I draft, which is fine. I mean, you live and learn. I happen to be on the negative side of one team. I think it's one team's 0-4, the other one's maybe 1-3. I have 11 teams, 12 teams really, and that's a pretty good ratio. If I have two teams that are like 10%. A little more than 10%, 20%, but that's fine. You're not going to get either 500 or a positive record with all of them, but you're hoping for the best. Expect the worst and hope for the best. So what I'm saying is this. Everyone needs to make some type of move via, like I said, waiver wire or trade or whatever. But I'm going to be going through the games. I'm going to give you some players to look at, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end pickings are pretty slim out there. But I have at least one that a lot of people aren't thinking about and may not have on their team, and he's been pretty consistent in the first 4 weeks. And I have one, at least, and even a defense. So, with that being said, let's move to the first game of the week 5 as they play as one announcer on radio said, that's a play for pay. Going to go to the first game, and the first game happens to be the Saints at the Bears. Now, Drew Brees is what, 1-3 or whatever? He's on a negative side of a record of playing up against the Chicago Bears. You know, I'm not sure about that.
Fantasy sports and politics.
What the heck happened there?
You want to talk back, you in the right place.
That,
so take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live.
Come on. Thank you. Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. I can't win. Can't win. You know, they try to do things, and it seems like, I don't know if it's my computer or if it's Block Talk Radio, but they seem to be really doing me a disservice here, and I don't know why, but I'm not liking this. You know what? And I won't even attempt it because the fact is, I can see what's happening here, and there's a huge delay in what I want to play, and I'll just let it go for now. All right, I'll just let it go. I wanted to play something, but I don't want to chance it because getting the information out is more important for me than to play some background music. Anyway, we're going to do New Orleans. Excuse me, we're going to Chicago with the New Orleans Saints, going to visit the Chicago Bears. And like I said, if Charles Tillman plays, it'll be very interesting how he defends Jimmy Graham effectively, since Jimmy Graham is going absolutely berserk in a contract year. I expect Drew Brees to be Drew Brees. And this is one of my wide receivers I'm going to give you here. Look for Alshon Jeffrey's role to continue to grow. More and more, Jay Cutler is looking for Alshon Jeffrey because of the coverage that's rolled over to Brandon Marshall. And his word is that Brandon Marshall is a little nicked up, and also that he's complaining about his targets. Now, as far as I know, Brandon Marshall had 100 catches for umpteen seasons. So, and if you get that many catches, you got to be getting quite a few targets to get those opportunities to catch the ball. So, look for Alshon Jeffries to get more and more involved. I would say he's a wide receiver 3 right now, 3-4. If you're in a wide receiver, type of league, or even I wouldn't say a flex. I'd be taking a chance with a flex, but on wide receiver 3, against the Saints. I would take that chance. Sure, why not take that chance? And you know, Drew Brees is going to be Drew Brees. You know, Darren Sproles finally did his Darren Sproles type of thing, so I think he's going to be doing the same thing in this game. Jimmy Graham is going to be absolutely doing the same thing. And Marcus Carlson is going to be heavily involved, as always. Another little one to look for, and I think he's going to get more and more involved. But he's a rookie, so he's going to be inconsistent. It's Kenny Stills. I like him. I don't like him that much in this game, but I like him. Let me put it this way. If it was playing in New Orleans, I would like him more as a wide receiver 4 with some upside, because he's got some quicks, and he can make the catch the deep ball. On the other side, Jay Cutler, I wouldn't play Jay Cutler this week. New Orleans' defense has been shored up, and they're going to be coming at Jay Cutler from all different directions. Rob Ryan is a very aggressive New Orleans, had the New Orleans Saints team on defense, and if you've watched any of the New Orleans Saints games, you know their defense has improved greatly under the tutelage and coaching of Rob Ryan. So Jay Cutler, now. Matt Forte is the guy to play, along with Brandon Marshall. And like I said, Alshon Jeffrey, wide receiver three, with some upside. But that's about it. There's nothing, in my opinion, on the Martellus Bennett. I mean, if you're hurting for tight end, then I would play Martellus Bennett. But I wouldn't expect big things from him. That's not a big position for the Chicago Bears. Let's move on to this one. This is going to be a very extremely, extremely interesting game. Now, he didn't show out too well the first game, but I didn't have lose faith in him. Faith in him. And I told you about this kid. And for the last 2 weeks, he's been balling out with Tom Brady. Kimbrell Tompkins is what I'm talking about. I expect him to have a decent role in this game, even though the Bengals supposedly, I know their secondary is banged up. They're supposed to be getting some help with the guys coming back from injury. But Tom Brady is still going to beat Tom Brady. He's still going to go to these guys. And I truly believe. Now, the first two games are two undefeated teams going on the road playing against two decent teams. Okay? One team is 3-1. The other team is, if I'm not mistaken, 2-2. I'm talking about the 3-1 Bears, and now this is the 2-2 Bengals. So, with that being said, what does Tom Brady do? You got to play Tom Brady. He's the top quarterback. You got to play him. Come on, man. Come on. You got to play him. Now, the running backs. Good luck in that. That's Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is just as bad as John Fox or the – and not so much this year, but until Jonathan Stewart comes back, then they may going to have a running back by committee. So you don't know who's going to get the majority of carries. Now, LeGarrette Blount is a one-trick pony for the most part. He's a one-trick pony. He just runs the ball. He's just strictly what you call a classic running back, running the football. Brandon Bolden does run the football, but he's a better catcher, and he's the Danny Woodhead of the New England Patriots, because Danny Woodhead's quite naturally not there. Supposedly, all reports is that Danny Amendola is back. Now, you got Danny Amendola is going to be the main guy, along with the other three wide receivers. I'm talking about Aaron Dobson, Kimbrell Tompkins, and Julian Edelman. So, in my opinion, is this. This is the pecking order I see it in the passing game. Danny Amendola, Kimbrell Tompkins, Julian Edelman, and Aaron Dobson. Quite naturally, Amendola and Edelman are the similar type player. So I don't think both of them, and you never know what the New England Patriots are going to do, but both of them are going to be on the field at the same time. I'm really thinking that Tom Brady is really, really feeling Kimbrell Tompkins. Not because I have him on a few of my teams, but because if you've been watching the last few games, he's been going to him on these deep routes and in the targets in the red zone consistently. So if Kimbrell Tompkins, for whatever reason, is on your waiver wire, scoop him up. If you're weak in that wide receiver, you might as well put him in because you're weak in it anyway. So you're taking a shot. He's going to get involved. I guarantee if it's in the PPR, he's going to get opportunities. He's going to get targets. Like I said, targets equals opportunities equals points. All you need is targets. All you need is targets. You get 10 targets, he catches 5 passes for 50 yards. That's 10 points. And it'll be a bonus if he scores a touchdown. So, trust me. Trust me. Because of the game that New England type, the type of game New England plays, he's going to get opportunities. I mean, he's going to get targets. On the other side, Andy Dalton has been extremely inconsistent. Inconsistent, to say the least. They have another dynamic player who's getting more and more touches, and I think he's going to progress even more as the season goes on, but he's still, and I told you about this guy before, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people knew about him anyway, Giovanni Bernard. I see him getting a touchdown in here, and giving some decent yardage. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis is a thumper. He doesn't do a lot. Giovanni Bernard is more versatile, more of a dual threat. Then you go to the main man in here. The main man is A.J. Green. So they're going to be force-feeding the ball. He got totally lambasted and filleted and shut down by Joe Hayden last week. So I expect A.J. Green to want to redeem himself from what happened last week. So Aqib Talib more likely is going to be on this guy, and he is no joke either. But you got to put this guy out there, A.J. Green. You got to put him out. He's a stud. You got to put him out there and play. And hopefully he can get his 7 catches, close to 90 yards, and get it in the end zone for a touchdown. All the other guys are too inconsistent for me. I know a lot of people are talking about Mohamed Sanu. I'm not feeling him at all. I'm not feeling him, tell you the truth. Not feeling him at all. Let's move on to this laugher of a game. I think the Jaguars at the Rams. Now, the Jaguars, I think they were playing better with Chad Henne, but they went back to Blaine Gabbert as soon as he was healthy. So that tells me they're tanking the season regardless of what anyone says. Or can't believe that they have faith in Blaine Gabbert. The offense is scoring less than 5 points a game. Less than 5 points a game. Okay? Listen to me when I say that. Less than 5 points a game. Let me tell you what their record is. Let me go to their record, and I'll tell you exactly what the deal is with the Jaguars and say how horrible they are. The Jaguars have scored 31 points. 31 points. 31 total points in the first four games. Excuse me. That's 5 points. It's a little more than 7 points a game. A little more than 7 points a game. Okay? Close to 8 points, okay? An NFL team, 8 points a game, not even double digits. They've given up 129 points. 129 points. So the average margin of victory for whoever plays them over the last four games, 32 to about 8. That's absolutely horrible for an NFL. You believe that for an NFL team? Okay? So, of course, there's no way I play Blaine Gabbert. Come on. There's 31 other teams that have quarterbacks that are a lot better than Blaine Gabbert. He's got to be the worst. There's three quarterbacks that I do not like in the NFL, absolutely don't understand why they have a job. One of them was playing better, and I may have to take back what I said about him. That's Jake Locker. But the other two have been consistent. And when I say consistent, they have been consistently horrible. They absolutely stink. And Blaine Gabbert is the worst of the last two. And the other one is Christian Ponder, and he's got a cracked rib that's going to take a few weeks for him to heal because the rib is cracked near his heart. So they don't want to play with that. They want to make sure he gets healed before he steps back on the field. Anyway, St. Louis, you know what? This is maybe the last last week that you play MJD for the simple reason that MJD is on a team that the box is going to get loaded on, and I don't like MJD next few weeks after this because of that. Let me see. I got a something in the chat room here. A little input PPR, one running back and one flex. I would play, and the options are Edelman, Powell, Williams, D'Angelo Williams, and Giovanni Bernard. Well, the Bilal Powell is playing the Atlanta Falcons on Monday. D'Angelo Williams is playing the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona, and Giovanni Bernard is playing home against the New England Patriots. So the one running back I would play would be Bernard, for sure. And the flex I would play, the flex that I would play would be between D'Angelo Williams and Julian Edelman. The reason I'm not including Bilal Powell in there is because Mike Goodson is back, and Chris Ivory may also be included in the mix because both of those are supposedly probable or eligible to play. And they may do a running back by committee, and you don't know how many touches Bilal Powell is going to get. So the choice for me is between Edelman and D'Angelo Williams. And, wow. I would go to Julian Edelman. It's in the PPR. At least if Edelman doesn't get a lot of yardage, he'll make it up with the amount of catches he takes. So if he gets 4 or 5 catches for 30, 40, 50 yards, then at least you get close to double digits, and that's pretty good for a flex. So I would go Bernard and Edelman. With that, yeah, I would go with Bernard and Edelman for the simple reason D'Angelo Williams, Arizona may be shaky on their offense, but the defense is a little stout, and I trust Giovanni Bernard more at home as their running back, one running back, and I like Edelman because he's going to be involved in the passing game. So that's who I would like. Powell is shaky, like I said, because of the two other guys that are supposed to be getting involved, and you don't know. That's on Monday. You want to take a chance in putting him in the running back position or the flex position, and either he goes off, and unfortunately, you don't have a crystal ball, so you don't know how much he's going to be involved, or the other guys are going to be involved. And I'm not really sold, even though D. Williams is coming off a bye. I'm not sold on that. I do know that Edelman is going to be involved in the offense, and I do know so is Giovanni Bernard. The other choice would be Joyke Bell. Wow. If they weren't playing Joyke Bell. You know, there's two games that Joyke Bell and Reggie Bush have been in, and both have been healthy. The first game Joyke Bell played with Reggie Bush was the first game of the season, and Joyke Bell and Reggie Bush both had good days. Joyke Bell had 2 touchdowns. The second game Drake Bell and Reggie Bush played was this past week, and Reggie Bush went off, and Drake Bell did relatively nothing. So the jury's still out on Drake Bell and Reggie Bush and how much fantasy relevance both of them together will be. Quite naturally, Reggie Bush will be relevant, but the combination of the two, Drake Bell is more fantasy relevant when he's on the field by himself without Reggie Bush. If Reggie Bush was hurt, then quite naturally he would go with Drake Bell. That's another one that Joker's 99. I wouldn't take the shot. This is what I would do. I would go with Bernard and Edelman because Drake Bell. The jury's still out on how much effectiveness, I think it depends on week to week what Drake Bell is going to do. So that he's a fantastic handcuff to Reggie Bush, but to count on him to do the things that give you some decent numbers is will be too inconsistent for me. So in my opinion, these are two surefire things that are going to happen. Giovanni Bernard is going to get the ball with the Cincinnati Bengals, and they're playing at home, okay? On the other end, Edelman, even though Edelman has been showing out ever since Amendola got hurt, Tom Brady is going to be throwing the ball because that's what the New England Patriots do. I know they're running the ball more, but they're still going to be throwing the ball. And Amendola is coming back from injury. I understand that Brady was really feeling him when he was healthy, and that was a short-lived thing. But Edelman has been in there and been consistent and been in like a security blanket and been something Tom Brady has relied on. So, in my opinion, just like you say, I hear you, I'm going with Edelman and Bernard. Those two things I can definitely feel good about and feel comfortable about and not have any anxiety that are they going to get the ball or how many touches? You know these guys are going to get touches. You know, the other ones, you don't know how consistent they're going to be. And two of them, Powell and D. Williams, are on the road against Williams is going against a decent defense, and Powell has two other guys coming back from injury that may get involved in the offense against the Atlanta Falcons. And you don't know what the scenario or what the touches are going to play out with. So I hope I answered your question. It may have been long, but I do want to explain it to give you an idea of what I was thinking about. Let's move on and talk about how bad the Jacksonville Jaguars are. Like I said, over the last four games, they've only scored 31 total points. That's 8 points a game, the worst team by far in the NFL. So you play Jones-Drew, you definitely do that. Now, you know that a lot of people have been playing Cecil Shorts, so he's a wide receiver two, maybe three at that point. But Justin Blackman's back. Blaine Gabbert loves throwing to Justin Blackman. If I was weak in the wide receiver position and – I would put Justin Blackman in. You know he's going to get targets. Just go back a few weeks, back to week three. And this is the same scenario that took place in Cleveland. Josh Gordon, the number one wide receiver, was coming back off of a suspension. And fast forward it to week five now. Justin Blackman is coming off a four-game suspension. Blaine Gabbert is looking for someone that he can throw to that's, I would say, his security blanket, but somebody he's comfortable throwing to. Justin Blackman, number one wide receiver, he's going to get targets and opportunities, which equals catches, which equals, if it's in the PPR, quite naturally, points for the reception, and quite naturally, if you most part, when you catch the ball, you're going to get some yardage with that. And maybe get into the end zone. Maybe the only touchdown they get. They're going up against the Rams in St. Louis, which does not have a bad secondary. But these are two. St. Louis, I think, is one of the youngest teams around, and got torched last week. So I'm expecting this game to be a game of bad teams and bad against worse, which I'm talking about St. Louis against Jacksonville. If you have St. Louis as a defense, if he's sitting on the waiver wire, grab him up because hold on, Joker's 99, and I'll answer your question. This is one of the pickups. I wouldn't say sneaky picks, but I'm pretty sure everybody knows now, because I've said this since the beginning of the season. There's three teams, and I take one of them back now. There's three teams that you play defense against that are sure to get you decent points. Three of them were, and I'll do it in worst to best. Jacksonville Jaguars, New York Jets, and the Cleveland Browns. Well, I'll take away the Cleveland Browns, and it's only two now that are surefire turnover machines week in and week out. Jacksonville and the Jets. So whoever's defense is playing against them, you pick them up. I don't care if they're the number 32nd ranked defense in your league. These two quarterbacks in both those teams, meaning Jacksonville and the Jets, are so bad that they're going to turn over quite a bit. And I got a caller from the – hold on a minute here. Let me grab this caller here. Okay. I'm trying to grab this caller here. And for some reason, it's not coming up. But I'm going to keep on trying. Okay, let me do this. This guy from Joker's 99 in the chat room, he said he just traded Rivers, D. Williams, and Spiller for Reggie Bush. That's quite a bit to give up for Reggie Bush. They were riding a pine for me. Okay. That's quite a bit to give up for Reggie Bush. Me, myself, I probably would have Phillip Rivers, D'Angelo Williams, and C.J. Spiller. I don't know if you negotiated or that was the first offer that you gave and the owner jumped on it. I probably would have offered D'Angelo Williams and Phillip Rivers for Reggie Bush and see what happened, and then going from there and added Spiller. But if you have Joyke Bell and that was a good move, because the fact is that Reggie Bush is sometimes can be injury prone, and Joyke Bell is a great pickup to have if Reggie Bush goes down. All right, I'm trying to get this caller in. For some reason, my board is acting up, and it won't let me do what I want to do. Let me do this. See if here it is. Caller loose, butt toll. How you doing, my man?
Hey, you know, I would actually add another team to that list. You said Jacksonville, the Jets. Would you add the Steelers to that list too?
Let me put it this way. I'm not quite yet. I know they're 0-4. I know they look pretty bad, but the Steelers do score some points, and they do have a decent quarterback. I wouldn't do them yet. I would wait probably until the next few games to see how they come out of the bye. But ever since the beginning of the season, these two teams I've named, Jacksonville and the Jets, have been consistently turnover machines. That's the reason why I've done
okay.
that.
I got you. So you put them in a different category because of the turnovers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you hear? Is it true that Rodgers is inactive today? Aaron Rodgers?
No, I didn't hear that.
I heard he soiled himself, and BJ Raji had to carry his. Well, he was running down the hallway with his shitty girdle, and he had a clothespin.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Oh God. He was all right until he started going there, and I had to get rid of him because I'm not going to go for that. I'm not looking for that right now. Joker's 99. You give me another one. PPR flex. Tompkins, Powell, Amendola, Finley. Wow. Tompkins, Powell, Amendola, and Finley. You know, I would go Amendola, but I don't know how involved he's going to be. It's been touch and go for him to come back. So, man, that is tough. That one is tough. Well, I'm throwing out Finley. To me, he wouldn't be a flex play today. I'm throwing out Powell. It's between Tompkins and Amendola. And, wow. In that scenario, I would think, I'll say it like this. If Amendola's coming back, they consider him healthy enough to play, and this is Belichick, so they wouldn't put him in there if they didn't think he's going to be effective. So I would go with Amendola. Absolutely with Amendola. That's plain and simple. You have to think it that way. You may get butt. That is what I would do. If they put him in there, that he must be healthy enough to play. And Tom Brady is going to feed the fish, meaning Amendola. And Belichick wouldn't, if he's not going to be effective, he wouldn't play. So PPR flex, I would definitely put Amendola in there, without a doubt. Finley probably will be my next play because before he got concussed, and quite naturally they were on a bye. Aaron Rodgers was feeding Finley pretty well. I know they have a lot of mouths to feed, but he likes throwing to Finley and because of his skill level. But the number one would be Amendola. And if you have to call in, please make it a legit call. You know, I can understand what the first part of that question the caller had was good. But then he started getting, digressing, and that's not necessary. I understand. I appreciate the call. Let's keep it on the good side here. Anyway, let's move on. There's news here that Isaiah Pete or Zach Stacy are going to get the carries here. This is too much of a mess of running back by committee. I'd stay away from the running backs. I really stay away from any of these wide receivers until something really pans out. The only one that may be consistent because it seems like the Rams don't want to throw deep downfield. They keep it short, and that's in Austin Pettis' wheelhouse. The only other guy that I think can have a decent day in here would be Jared Cook, and he's a hybrid, I would say, tight end slash wide receiver, a big wide receiver, like Antonio Gates type of guy, real athletic guy. And against Jacksonville, I think he can be effective. Let's move on to this is a really good matchup, and I'm really liking this matchup a lot to watch. Maybe not in fantasy, but just to watch because I want to gauge where these teams are at. Both these teams, I think they're pretty evenly matched. I'm talking about the Baltimore Ravens visiting the surprising Miami Dolphins. Joe Flacco does not play well on the road. Every now and then you'll get him, he'll rise up and play a decent game on the road, but for the most part, if you look at Joe Flacco's record, he does not play well on the road. And he was true to form in Buffalo. And now that he's playing a good defense in Miami, it's going to be warm. They have a decent pass rush. I think Cameron Wake's may play. I think it's a game-time decision. They have a decent pass rush on Flacco. It's going to be a problem in the passing game. With that being said, they're supposed to get back to the basics and involve Ray Rice more. That's in the run game and also the short pass game, which they should have been doing all along. But Ray Rice isn't completely healthy. So I feel for Ray Rice fans. Hopefully you got Bernard Pierce because he's very good, he's a very good handcuff to Ray Rice. And I would watch what happens in this game because this is the second game back, supposedly, that Ray Rice had that hip flexor 3 games ago. And last week he wasn't involved in the running game. I don't know if it was due to his health or because the way the game unfolded. But keep an eye on Ray Rice this week. If he's back to form, then Bernard Pierce's value takes a dip. If he still struggles, then Bernard Pierce's value quite naturally rises up. And maybe you Bernard Pierce owners, if it's not on the same team as Ray Rice, can swing a deal to gain a player from that Ray Rice owner so he can have the handcuff. Or if you're weak in the running back position and you have Bernard Pierce and Ray Rice doesn't pan out for the Ray Rice owner, you've done well, and you can use Bernard Pierce going forward because of the fact is he'll be the main guy because Ray Rice is ineffective. You played Torrey Smith in this. And I really like this kid. I don't know how much he's going to show out this week, but the last 2 weeks he's had a touchdown. And so Joe Flacco likes throwing to this rookie. I'm talking about Marlon Brown. I've talked about him before. I talked about him last week, and I'm talking about him again. Marlon Brown is a guy to watch out for the simple fact is that Ryan Tannehill is going to him. One guy I'm looking for, I know the Baltimore Ravens defense is pretty decent against the run, but I've said it before and I keep saying it, why, oh why, does Miami continually put in Daniel Thomas or try to even the touches out between Daniel Thomas and Lamar Miller when Lamar Miller is clearly the better runner. And, you know, some runners, and I said this yesterday on the show, and I'll say it again, some runners you have to keep feeding the ball to them. They get into the flow of the game. They start wearing the defense out. They and the holes start opening up, and they become more effective as the game goes on. I do believe that if you keep feeding this kid, he's going to get better as the game goes on. But if you in and out, and he has sporadic touches and sporadic flow of the game, it does no good for either one of them. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like running back by committee, because no running back can get a clear flow of the game or feel for the game if he's in and out of the lineup. It's always a static. It's always messed up. And quite naturally, I like Lamar Miller. I like him in this game, and I think he's going to give you a touchdown and some good yardage, 50, 60 yards and a touchdown. Why running back, maybe running back two or flex, something like that. But he's usable this week. He's not unusable. He's not a sit. He's definitely put in the mix. Mike Wallace has been very disappointing. He's sporadic. Ryan Tannehill throws to him. He dropped a huge pass last week. The most consistent wide receiver is Brian Hartline, plain and simple. I see both of these guys, because of the defense that Baltimore has, I see both of these guys able to get into the end zone. That means Mike Wallace and Brian Hartline. And quite naturally, Baltimore is weak, not extremely weak, but they can be passed on in the tight end position. So Charles Clay has been showing out. He should be able to get you double digits in a PPR. All right, let's move on because I'm way behind. I got 10 minutes left in here, and I got a lot of games to go. We're going to be going in overtime. Hope you guys listen or are staying with me in overtime because I'm covering all these games. All right, here's a game in MetLife Stadium, which is in Jersey, that the Giants are hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. This should be fantasy goodness for quite a few people because all these skill positions should be able to have pretty decent days for the simple reason both these defenses give up a lot of yardage and points. Giants are bad in the run, not that bad in the pass defense. The Eagles are the same, but the Eagles have the number one rushing team in the NFL, and LeSean McCoy should run wild in here. I definitely play both Mike Vick and McCoy and DeSean Jackson. They don't have any speed in the Giant DBs that can keep up with DeSean Jackson. And I think all three of these guys, Michael Vick running for a touchdown, LeSean McCoy running for a touchdown, and DeSean Jackson catching a touchdown, it's going to be like that. Now, on the other side, the Eagles have a decent pass rush, okay? And Eli Manning's got to get rid of the ball, but he's got weapons to get rid of the ball. Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks should be able to do their thing and rack up some points in the fantasy realm. I would say that you play every one of these guys, Hicks, Nicks, and I've said this before, this kid needs, and this is one of the reasons why I said this thing. David Wilson, to me, seems like he's a running back that needs to get fed the ball more. You can't throw him in, put him in, take him out. Put him in, take him out. Give him the ball, let him run the ball consistently. I think he can do this against this Eagle defense. I like David Wilson a lot, especially in the flex position. He could even, with upside to an RB2. But the more he gets the ball, the more he feels comfortable, the more coaching staff feels comfortable about him having the ball, the more effective he's going to be. Now, he's a dynamic player. He can work well in space. So besides him running the ball, why not give him or use him like they use LeSean McCoy, like they use Darren Sproles in space, so this kid can do his thing in space as well as trying to run the ball between the tackles. We'll see, but I think they're going to do all that today because the fact is this is a must-win for the Giants. It's 0-4 on their way to 0-5 if they don't win this game. All right, Jokers99 said this is a bit more challenging, barring injury, inactive Cecil Shorts, Tompkins, Nate Washington, T.Y. Hilton, or Dwayne Bowe. Okay, this is a bit more challenging. Barring injury inactives, Cecil Shorts, Tompkins, Nate Washington, T.Y., or Bowe. All right, Cecil Shorts is going up against St. Louis. Tompkins is going up against Cincinnati. Nate Washington is going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. T.Y. Hilton is going up against the Seattle Seahawks. And Bo is going up against the Tennessee Titans. You need three of them. Okay? Then I would go to Bo, Tompkins, and Bo, Tompkins, and Bo, Tompkins, and not T.Y. I'm not going to go not against that Seattle defensive back. So he can throw T.Y. Hilton out of there. So it's between Nate Washington and Cecil Shorts. Justin Blackman's back now. So I would go, this would I go, Bo, Nate Washington, and Kembrill Tompkins. That's how it would go, because Cecil Short's targets are going to get diminished because Justin Blackman is going to eat up some of those. Before that, Cecil Short was the man, but Justin Blackman back, so they're going to get Blackman, and Blaine Gabbert's going to make sure that Blackman gets some targets. So that's what I would do, Joker's 99. Tompkins, Nate Washington, and Dwayne Bowe. Good luck. Hopefully, let me see. Okay. Let's move on to Lions and Packers and Bears. Oh, my. Lions and Packers and Bears. Oh, my. Another shootout. These guys are going to be flinging the ball around. Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers are going to be running, are going to be throwing the ball all over the place. So you play Matthew Stafford, no doubt. You play Reggie Bush, no doubt. Now, you can play, and I've seen this happen before, you can play Joik Bell in the flex, but you're taking a chance on whether Joik Bell gets enough touches and opportunities in this game. There's a strong possibility he may, but you never know. Like I said, there's only two game samples that you have, the first game and the last game, that with Reggie Bush and Joik Bell. One, Joik Bell had a hell of a game, which was the first game, and the last game, Joik Bell was nowhere to be found for the most part. So you're taking a huge risk if you play both of them on your lineup. But I can't hate you, because both of these guys are effective in the pass game and the run game. You definitely play Calvin Johnson. Now, this is a guy I talked about last week. They've been bringing him on slowly and slowly and slowly and more and more. I'm talking about Ryan Broyles. And I think he may be involved more this game because they're going to have to put up points because they're playing one of the division rivals, and they're playing the Packers in Lambeau. So they're going to have to – and they're coming off a bye. So the Packers are going to be loaded for bear, or loaded for lion, whatever you want to put it. So points are going to be at a premium here. You're going to need points in this game. So, but this is one of my sleeper teams. Detroit's one of my sleeper teams. Don't discount Detroit. But Aaron Rodgers, you play. Eddie Lacy, I think he's going to have a good day. He's healthy now, coming off the concussion. I think he's going to have a very good day. JaMychal Finley's a decent tight end play, tight end one. I think he's going to get involved, but I don't know if he's going to get in the end zone. I know he's a red zone target, but you got a lot of mouths to feed here. Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, you all play these guys. James Jones, don't know. I mean, he led the league last year in touchdowns for wide receivers, but there's going to be a lot of balls thrown around. It's going to be a pretty exciting game. You got about a minute left in the show. We're going to be in overtime because I'm going to take every one of these games, including the Monday night game. So I hope you stay with me. I hope you continue staying online with me and asking questions like Joker99. I really appreciate you spending your time this morning and asking me questions. Hopefully I helped you out. Hopefully you come back next week and say and have some positive things happen to you. And good luck in your fantasy week, and enjoy the games. For all the other listeners that have been listening, including the phone call that I got, I appreciate the phone call. Just bring it. But, you know, bring it with some class. You don't have to do what you did. I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the comments and whatever the question you had. I appreciate that. I really do. Keep listening, because I'm going to be running some other players down here. I said, told you about Alshon Jeffery. Told you about Nate Washington. There's going to be some running backs, at least one running back that I'm going to tell you about, and a few more wide receivers, and even a tight end that you guys, if you're hurting for a tight end. And we're in overtime now. All right. Let's move on to the Chiefs versus the Titans. Very, very tough. Chiefs, this Chiefs team's 4-0. They're 4-0, people, but this can be a trap game because next week they play a division rival. They play the Oakland Raiders. And Tennessee is no slouch. You can't sleep on Tennessee. Their defense is decent. They do have a rather explosive, even though he hasn't shown it this year, Chris Johnson. And they have a replacement quarterback of Jake Locker, who's been who's hurt for with a hip injury. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is a ample replacement. But Jamal Charles, you know I love Jamal Charles. If you listen to me over the years, I think he's one of the best backs in the NFL right now, obviously. You play him. Captain Checkdown, Alex Smith. Donnie Avery is not a bad play. I know he disappeared, but they're going to be running the ball a lot and with the short passing game. So even though I had said Dwayne Bowe as the three wide receivers, Dwayne Bowe, I know he's taking shots, and I think down the line he's going to get Dwayne Bowe more and more involved because he's number one wide receiver and he getting paid. So they got to get him more involved, absolutely. On the other side, Chris Johnson, you know what? It's a mixed bag. I've seen different sites say sit Chris Johnson, start Chris Johnson. In my opinion, Chris Johnson is a startable. The Kansas City Chiefs can be run on. One thing that the Kansas City Chiefs, weakness of the Kansas City Chiefs, is, and it's not a real big weakness, but the weakness versus the pass is the run. You can run on Kansas City. It's a little harder to pass on them because of Brandon Flowers and Eric Berry back there. So, and they have a huge pass rush. Justin Houston, Tamba Ali, and company, they have a huge pass rush, and that's the problem in the passing game when you go up against the Kansas City Chiefs. One guy I would play here, the one guy I would play here is Nate Washington. Absolutely. I think he's the main gun here. Kendall Wright's going to get involved. And this kid, for those who didn't know, 2 weeks ago, the week that they had a game-winning touchdown pass, Jake Locker threw to Justin Hunter, who happens to be the rookie wide receiver. Jake Locker wanted the rookie versus Kenny Britt in the lineup. I don't know if you guys know that or not. He wanted him in the lineup, meaning he had more faith in that kid than he had the vet, Kenny Britt. So look for this kid to get more and more involved. I know it's not Jake Locker in there, but look for this kid to get more and more involved. I don't know how Brian Fitzpatrick feels about Justin Hunter, but the coaching staff must have taken Jake Locker's advice because Justin Hunter is liked by the coaches, and if you've been looking at certain reports, Kenny Britt is being shopped. He's in a contract year, and he's not playing that well, and he's been dogging it, and he's not too high on the coaches list, and I think he's being shopped. So Kenny Britt, by the trading deadline, which is October 29th, may not be with the Tennessee Titans. Just keep that in mind. Just keep that under your hat, remember what I said. Let's go to this game. This is a real good matchup of two teams, Seattle Seahawks against the Colts in Indianapolis. Russell Wilson does not play well on the road. I know what he did last week. They should have lost that game. They had, 300 yards total offense, not even 200 yards in the passing game against the Houston Texans. I'm talking about the Seattle Seahawks. Houston had 500 yards total yardage, total offense. 350-something yards in passing and another 150 yards in running the ball. In running the ball. So, in essence, the quarterback lost that play. I understand what happened in overtime about the slamming of the wide receiver, but it shouldn't even gotten to the overtime if the quarterback had just held on to the ball. I know that. I understand what you're saying. So this vaunted defense is not as strong as people may think it is. They can be run on. That's their weakness. Every defense has a weakness. If you look in the stats, the weakness of the Seattle Seahawks is their run defense. Quite naturally, their DBs are very tough to pass on, but they can be run on. And quite naturally, Indianapolis has a very good defense. They can be run on. Marshawn Lynch is a definite starter here. I have a problem with these wide receivers because you never know which one's going to show out. I'm talking about Golden Tate, Doug Baldwin, or Sidney Rice. So if you have them, they could be a wide receiver 3, 4, something like that. Maybe a flex play, but they're not consistent enough for me to put in any of my lineups. I really have a hard time putting any Seahawk wide receiver in my lineup. On the other side, you've got to play Andrew Luck. I know they say probably a sit, but if you don't have a better option than Andrew Luck, you put him in your lineup. Okay? You definitely play Trent Richardson. I think he's going to get stronger and stronger as he learns the offense more in this. Any of these wide receivers are going to be a tough play, real tough play, because the DBs that are on Seattle are extremely tough. One I definitely would play with Reggie Wayne. He's a wily veteran. He knows how to get open. He's gone against tough DBs before, and he's a wide receiver 3, maybe 3 with upside. Let me put it that way. I know I've seen on a few sites, on most of the sites, that say sit Reggie Wayne. Maybe you don't have a better option, so you play him quite naturally. I'm being realistic here. All right, let's move on to the Panthers and the Cardinals. Now, I talked about a guy here before, last week. I talked about a week before, and I'm going to keep talking about him until he gets what I think he's going to get. I'm talking about Andre Ellington, okay, of the Arizona Cardinals. And some of you guys may see, who the heck is that? Andre Ellington. He happens to be a rookie running back. Okay, he's backing up Rashad Mendenhall, and it's just a matter of time before Rashad Mendenhall gets replaced in Arizona. You know, you think how much longer can the Cardinals' running game continue to be non-existent? And Bruce Arians is definitely not happy with Mendenhall for a couple of mental mistakes he made at the end of last week's game. But Ellington may not be the answer. I think he is. But if Mendenhall is not doing the job, why not give the younger backs a shot to see what they can do? So I think Mendenhall is living on borrowed time, and I think Andre Ellington is going to be able to be the first in line to see increase in carries. So if you don't have him and you have roster space, so if you got somebody that is really just taking up space and you not have any intention of using, and you may be weak on running backs, this is a guy. I'm telling you, this is a guy, Andre Ellington, that I'm giving you, okay? Let's move on. D'Angelo Williams, I would play D'Angelo Williams. He's been playing pretty well since he's been the lone back. And I like him in this game. I don't like him a whole lot, but I think he's going to do well, along with Cam Newton. Both these guys, this team is coming off a bye, but they're playing on the road, which is different. They're playing on the road. You probably, quite naturally, got to play Steve Smith. On the other side, Carson Palmer has been a huge disappointment, in my opinion. He's only a bye week replacement. Rashad Mendenhall, I talked about him already. I talked about Andre Ellington. You got to play Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd in this game because they're going to be throwing the ball. That's what Bruce Arians does. They throw the football. Larry Fitzgerald is a wide receiver 1, absolutely. He's going to get targets, which equal opportunities, with, in my opinion, equals catches, and he's going to get his his 6 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Michael Floyd has been playing consistently. I think he's going to be getting consistent targets. Like I said, Arians' offense, they like to throw the ball down the field. They like to get the dynamic plays down the field. So I think Michael Floyd's going to get involved in that also. Let's move on to the Broncos and the Cowboys. Man, we got some good fantasy games today. Good fantasy games today, absolutely. You know, there's no doubt in my mind, and I know anybody else's, and they wish they had him, wish they had drafted him, Peyton Manning. Lights out, 16 touchdowns, no interceptions. Lights out. Now they have Sean Marino is the main running back here. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be the main guy. If he goes down, I know Ronnie Hillman is the number two running back. I don't think that's going to be the case if Sean goes down. I think it's going to be Monte Ball if Sean goes down. I know a lot of people have lost faith in Monte Ball, but he's got too much talent to put him on a waiver wire. Hold on to Monte Ball, okay? Hold on to him. Sean Marino has been playing well, okay? He is playing very well. But he has a history of getting hurt. He has a history of getting hurt, and I'm going with history. I'm not saying it's going to happen this week, next week, but he has a history of getting hurt. So hold on to Monte Ball. The other three guys that talk about, you know, that going without saying, or four guys, I should say, Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker, and Eric Decker. You got one of those, you're smiling because you know they're going to get involved. You know Peyton Manning's going to throw the ball to them. And you know they have a very high percentage of being able to get into the end zone. So you play those guys. On the other side, Tony Romo, one of the best regular season quarterbacks in fantasy football. So he's definitely a start in this game, no doubt about it. Same with DeMarco Murray. No doubt about it with Jason Witten. No doubt about it with Dez Bryant. Now, okay, Miles Austin's not playing. So who do we go to? Terrence Williams. He's going to get more and more touches that Miles Austin didn't, and I think he's going to get into the end zone. Trust me when I say that. Last game, he hauled in 7 passes for 71 yards. Okay? He's on the rise in an offense that throws the ball a lot. So if you don't have Terrence Williams and you have a spot, grab him. In fact, you know what? I would even put him in the lineup as a flex, in my opinion, if you're down and out and looking for a wide receiver or something because your team's depleted with injury or whatever. Put him in there. Why not? You know, his expectation is low, but you never know. They're going to be throwing the ball. They're going to be throwing, besides running the ball, they're going to be throwing the ball. Okay? Let's move on to the late game, which is the Chargers at the Raiders. Phillip Rivers is playing lights out. If you hadn't been talking about Peyton Manning, then you would be talking about Phillip Rivers as the MVP. Because he's been playing that well. Surprising. Playing a short passing game, not turning the ball over, and being very consistent in his quarterback play. So you play Phillip Rivers. He's definitely a startable quarterback in here. I don't like Ryan Matthews. I mean, I've never liked Ryan Matthews ever since he was drafted. I've always said that he's just... He's more hype than anything else. And so far, I've been proven right about that. I'm pretty good judge on running backs. I don't like Ryan Matthews at all. I do like Danny Woodhead because he's used in the passing game and a little bit in the rushing game, but he's mainly used in the passing game. And he's used something like Darren Sproles has used. So I do like Danny Woodhead, especially against Oakland's defense. Antonio Gates is healthy. He's healthy, people, and he's playing like the Antonio Gates of old. He's a definitely big-time player in here, along with with Rivers and Woodhead. Now, the wide receivers, Eddie Royal started out like a house of fire. I'm talking, this guy here is somebody that I think he's on the rise. He showed flashes of his potential on last Sunday by catching 5 passes for 80 yards against Dallas. Phillip Rivers likes to spread the ball around, so no one receiver can be counted on consistently from week to week. This is a guy to keep an eye on as we get further into the season. He could develop into San Diego's primary big threat, and I'm talking about Keenan Allen, okay? Just keep that in mind. I'm giving you names out here of players I see that are on the rise or are going to show out very near future. So just keep that in mind because I do like Keenan Allen. And quite naturally, Rashad Jennings is taking the place of Darren McFadden because McFadden does his seasonal thing of getting hurt, and he's going to be gone for a few weeks. So Rashad Jennings, he's going to be the fill-in for that. And it's a decent play against the Chargers who can be run on. All right, let's move on to the other Sunday night game. Game I'm really really going to be tuned into. That's the Houston Texans visiting the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco. Now, like I said last week, we went up against supposedly the number one defense, the best defense in the league, and now we're going up against another very stout defense in the San Francisco 49ers. We had 500 yards against the Seattle Seahawks. I'm not saying that we can get 500 yards on the 49ers, but I think we can. I think the Houston Texans can move the ball on the San Francisco 49ers. I think what's going to happen is San Francisco can be run on. So I think that the Houston Texans are going to try to run the ball as much as possible and not force Matt Schaub into situations where it'll be detrimental to the team. So look for Arian Foster to be used early and often and be used in a short passing game along with Owen Daniels. And take their shots with Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins. This is a tight end, okay? Three of the last four games, he scored a touchdown, okay? He's the other tight end in that's being played. He may not get a lot of yardage, but he gets red zone targets. And I'm talking about Garrett Graham. So if you want to take a shot, if Heath Miller, if Kyle Rudolph not playing, they're on a bye. Why don't you put in Garrett Graham? Because if the other guy that you did no one out really out there, put in the Garrett Graham. Take a shot. What do you have to lose? Take a shot. Put Garrett Graham in there, and hopefully he can get you a decent amount of yardage and a touchdown because he does get red zone targets. On the other side, Colin Kaepernick is a shaky play for me today against a real tough Houston defense. You see what they did to Russell Wilson, even though Russell Wilson ran around and was able to make plays on it with legs. Not to say Colin Kaepernick can't, but I would temper your expectations of Colin Kaepernick against the Houston Texans. Frank Gore, Houston can be run on. So they're going to try to run the football. That's their base deep offense. They're going to try to run the football. Kendall Hunter is going to be used in the pass game. I think he can be a low-end flex play. Let me put it that way, if you're really hurting. Anquan Boldin and Vernon Davis are the main guys to go here. But look for this guy, all right? Because word is he's going to get more and more involved in the offense, and we'll see what happens on Sunday night if he, in fact, does. Talking about Jonathan Baldwin, okay? He's got traded from Kansas City to San Francisco. They swapped young wide receivers. Kansas City got A.J. Jenkins, and San Francisco got Jonathan Baldwin. Good things are being heard coming through about Jonathan Baldwin and being used more in the offense. And last but not least, we're talking about the Monday night game. Do we really? Yeah, well, it's a game. I got to talk about it. Jets at the Atlanta Falcons. You play. This is the problem. Bilal Powell's going to get the ball. I don't know how much, but he's going to get the ball. All right. Mike Goodson and Chris Ivory are probably going to be involved. It all depends on how much they're involved. All depends on how they run. Mike Goodson can be a very dynamic player. If you looked at the things he did in Oakland before he got before he moved on to the Jets, he can be a very effective player, especially in a pass game. So the jury's still out on that one. On the other side, I know that the Jets are very tough against the opposing quarterback. But Matt Ryan is playing at home, and he's got a superior win record at home. I'd play him at home. I know the popular pick is play Jaquez Rogers over Jason Snelling. I'm of the opinion you play Jason Snelling over Jaquez Rogers. Jaquez Rogers is a change of pace back. Jason Snelling is more of a Steven Jackson type of back, bigger back that can run between the tackles. You play these three guys, Tony Gonzalez, Julio Jones. I say two guys because Roddy White had a setback in his high ankle sprain, and you're not sure exactly how effective he's going to be. So I feel for your Roddy White owners because he hasn't given you any value for where you drafted him for. And I wouldn't trust him. I'd put him on the sidelines and wait until after the bye when he's healthy. Well, that wraps it up for week five. I've given you some players that I like to look at and maybe stash on your waiver wire. I've given some advice to Jokers99 on the chat room. And I've also had a caller call in. I appreciate all the participation of the characters and all of all you guys that called in or was on the chat room. I appreciate all that you've listened to me. I appreciate the ones that are going to listen on the archives. Tune in next week, same time, same bat channel. I'll be doing the same thing, fantasy picks, and also to give you some sneaky picks, as I call them. And hopefully they help you. And please let me know if they have. If they haven't, I apologize, but I'm doing the best I can. I ain't put it that way. Until next week, enjoy your fantasy weekend. Hopefully it's a fruitful one and it gains you a win. Enjoy the games, and we're out of here. And, of course, I get locked in, and I have no recourse but to keep talking until it shows up. Hopefully it show up soon, and I can get out of here and enjoy the rest of the day, get cleaned up, and be able to have a good day watching my fantasy teams play. and we'll see what happens. And as always, I really appreciate you listening, and let's see what happens. If I can get something playing, we're good. If I can't, then I'll just have to do the best way I can in getting out of here, and I think I'll do that now. Folks, enjoy the weekend. We're out.